أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The following is a condensed version of the book Islam in Focus by Hamouda Abdelnati, a book concerning the basic teachings of Islam. The contents of the book are as follows. Chapter 1, The Ideological Foundation of Islam. Chapter 2, The Basic Concepts of Islam. Chapter 3, The Application of Faith. Chapter 4, The Application of Islam to Daily Life. And finally, Chapter 5, Distortions About Islam. Chapter 1, The Ideological Foundation of Islam, Allah or God. Knowledge of God and belief in Him constitute the very foundation of Islam. There are individuals who like to doubt the concept of God in the name of science or because of a lack of understanding. My concern will be with their true position. As we look around in our environment, we see that every family has a head, every school has a principal, and every nation has a head of state. We know that every product is the work of a certain producer. One often wonders at the beauties of nature and the almost endless horizons in the sky and the ceaseless succession of night and day, the course of the sun and the moon and the great stars, the continuous process of evolution of man, generation after generation. One would like to know the maker and maintainer of all these things with which we live. Can we find an explanation of the great universe? We realize that nothing comes into being on its own. We observe that the universe exists and functions in the most orderly manner, and that it has survived for hundreds of thousands of years. Can we attribute the existence of man and the whole world to mere chance? If man were to come into being by accident, his whole existence would be meaningless. Every reasonable human being tries to make his life as meaningful as possible. There is a designing will behind our material existence. There is a unique mind in the world to bring things into being and keep them moving in order. There must be a great force in action to keep everything in order. This force is the strongest of all forces. True believers and deeply enlightened people recognize this artist and call him Allah or God. They call him God because he is the creator and the chief architect of the world, the originator of life, and the provider of all things in existence. He is not a man. He is different from all things because he is the maker and keeper of all of them. The maker and sustainer of the world, the creator of and provider for man, the active force, the effective power in nature are all one and the same, and that is known to be Allah or God. The Holy Quran, the true book of God, says, "It is God who has subjected the sea to you, that ships may sail through it by his command, that you may seek of his bounty, and that you may be grateful. And he has subjected to you, as from him, all that is in the heavens and on earth. Behold, in that there are signs indeed for those who reflect." Quran chapter 45, verses 12 through 13. The supreme master of the whole world and the creator of everything is Allah. Man can know him only by reflection and through meditation. Once man believes that God exists, he must know his attributes and his names. In specific terms, one should know and believe the following. 1. God is only one, has no partner, and no son. He neither gives birth, nor is he born. He is eternally besought by all, and has no beginning nor end, and none is equal to him. 2. He is the merciful and the compassionate, the just and the supreme Lord, the powerful. If we try to count his favors upon us, we cannot, because they are countless. God is very near to the pious, thoughtful people. He welcomes all those who want to be at peace with him. He recommends and accepts only the good and right things. The door of His mercy is always open to the sincere. He makes us in the best form and gives us all the senses and faculties. He helps us and provides for us. He creates in man the mind to understand, the soul and conscience to be good and righteous, the feelings and sentiments to be kind and humane. The mercy of God gives us hope and peace, courage and confidence. The mercy of God is active everywhere, all the time, in every aspect of our lives. By His mercy and love, He has shown us the right way and sent to us messengers and revelation. The last messenger from God is Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The most generous existing book is the Quran. If a person commits a sin and faithfully seeks pardon from God, God will certainly accept him and forgive him. In this connection, the Quran says, God forgives not that partners should be set up with him, but he forgives anything else to whom he pleases. To set up partners with God is to devise a sin most heinous indeed. Quran chapter 4, verses 48 and 116. In return for all of these great favors, God does not need anything from us. Whatever rules and prescriptions He passes on to us are designed for our own benefit. They help us to enjoy our lives and to attain His most pleasant company. The meaning of Islam. In the religious sense, the word Islam means submission to the will of God and obedience to His law. Some outsiders call our religion Mohammedanism. This misnomer implies that the religion takes its name after Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and that Islam is another ism, just like Judaism, Hinduism, or Marxism. Outsiders might think of Muslims as worshippers of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The word Muhammadanism may make him think that the religion was founded by Muhammad. All of these implications are seriously wrong. The Muslim worships God alone. Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was only a mortal being. The original founder of Islam is no other than God. And the date of the founding of Islam goes back to Adam. Islam will continue to exist until the end of time. The true name of religion is Islam, and those who follow it are Muslim. Contrary to popular misconceptions, Islam, or the submission to the will of God, together with obedience to His law, does not mean in any way a loss of individual freedom or surrender to fatalism. Civilized people abide by the laws of their countries. No responsible person would say that such people lose their freedom by obedience to that law. Submission to the good will of God frees the mind from superstition and fills it with trust. It frees the soul from sin and wrong. It frees the self from vanity and greed, from envy and tension. It frees man from subjugation to false deities and low desires. Because man possesses the qualities of intelligence and choice, he is invited to submit to the good will of God and obey His law. When he does choose submission, he will be consistent with the truth. But if he chooses disobedience, he will deviate from the right path and incur the displeasure and the punishment of the law given. A Muslim believes that all those prophets of God and their faithful followers were Muslim, and that their religion was Islam. The fundamental articles of faith in Islam. The true faithful Muslim believes in the following principal articles of faith. 1. He believes in one God. This belief requires complete trust and hope in God, submission to His will, and reliance on His aid. 2. He believes in all the messengers of God without any discrimination among them. They were, with the exception of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, known as national or local messengers, but their message was called Islam. All the messengers, with no exception whatsoever, were mortal, human, endowed with divine revelation and appointed by God. Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, stands out as the last messenger. The Quran commands the Muslims thus: We believe in God and the revelation given to us, and the revelation given to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, and that which was given to Moses and Jesus, and that which was given to all prophets from their Lord. We make no discrimination between one and another of them, and we bow to God. Chapter 2, verse 136. 3. The true Muslim believes in all the scriptures and revelations of God. The only authentic and complete book of God in existence today is the Quran. Nothing of it is missing, and no more of it is expected. The Quran was made so by God, who made it incumbent upon himself to protect it against corruption of all sorts. Whatever agrees with the Quran is accepted as divine truth. 4. The true Muslim believes in the angels of God. They have no physical desire, nor material needs. They spend their days and nights in the service of God. Each one is charged with a certain duty. Belief in the angels originates from the Islamic principle that knowledge and truth are not entirely confined to the sensory knowledge or sensory perception alone. 5. The true Muslim believes in the last day of judgment. On the day of judgment, people with good records will be generously rewarded and welcomed to the heaven. Those with bad records will be punished and cast into hell. The Muslim believes that there definitely will be compensation and reward for the good deeds and punishment for the evil ones. On the day of judgment, all deeds are visible to God. Absolute justice will be done to all. What will promote the cause of morality and goodness? There must be some way to reward goodness and to arrest evil. If not here on this earth, it has to be done on the day of judgment. 6. The true Muslim believes in the timeless knowledge of God and his power to plan and execute his plans. His knowledge and power are in action at all times. Whatever he does must have a good motive and a meaningful purpose. We should accept with good faith all that he does, although we may fail to understand it. We should have strong faith in him. His knowledge is limitless, and he plans on a universal basis. The timeless knowledge and power of God to execute his plans does not prevent us from making our own plans in our own limited sphere of power. If things do not happen the way we want it, we should not lose faith. The Muslims call this article of faith Qada and Qadar, which simply means the timeless knowledge of God anticipates events, and events take place according to the exact knowledge of God. 7. The true Muslim believes that God's creation is meaningful and that life has purpose, the purpose of life being to worship God. If life has a purpose, and if man is created to serve that purpose, then man cannot escape that responsibility. When God charges him with any responsibility, he provides him with all that is required as assistance. 8. The true Muslim believes that man enjoys a specially high-ranking status in the hierarchy of known creatures, because he alone is gifted with rational faculties and spiritual aspirations. The more his rank excels, the more his responsibility grows. God's viceroy on earth, appointed by God, must necessarily have some power and authority and be endowed with honor and integrity. This is the status of man in Islam. 9. The true Muslim believes that every person is born Muslim. Every person is endowed with spiritual potentials and intellectual inclinations that can make him a good Muslim if he has the right access to Islam and is left to develop his innate nature. This is so because Islam is the universal religion of God, the maker of human nature. 10. The true Muslim believes that every person is born free from sin. When the person reaches the age of maturity, he becomes accountable for his deeds and intentions. He is free to do things according to his plan and on his own responsibility. This Islamic concept of freedom is based upon the principle of God's justice and the individual's direct responsibility to God. To assume that God was unable to forgive Adam and Eve, and that they did not pray for pardon, or prayed for it, but it was not granted, would be contrary to God's mercy and justice. The Muslim believes that God, the forgiving and merciful, granted Adam and Eve pardon. The Muslim cannot possibly accept the doctrine that says that Adam, with the whole human race, has been condemned and unforgiven until Jesus came to expiate their sins. Consequently, the Muslim cannot entertain the dramatic story of Jesus' death on the cross just to do away with all human sin once and for all. Such a disbelief in this doctrine does not in any way lessen the Muslim's reverence for Jesus, nor does it shake the Muslim's belief in Jesus as a distinguished prophet of God. 11. The true Muslim believes that man must work out his salvation through the guidance of God. To attain salvation, a person must combine faith and action. No one can attain salvation until his faith in God becomes dynamic in his life and his beliefs are translated into reality. 12. The true Muslim believes that God does not hold any person responsible until he has shown him the right way. 13. The true Muslim believes that in human nature there is more good than evil. 14. The true Muslim believes that faith is not complete when it is followed blindly or accepted unquestioningly. If faith is to inspire action, and if faith and action are to lead to salvation, then faith must be founded on unshakable conviction, without deception or compulsion. A Muslim must build his faith on well-grounded convictions. He is invited by God to search in the open book of nature, to use his reasoning powers, and to reflect on the teachings of the Quran. Islam forbids compulsion in religion. It must radiate from within. Freedom of choice is the cornerstone of responsibility. 15. The true Muslim believes that the Quran is the word of God, revealed to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, through the agency of the angel Gabriel. The Quran was revealed piece by piece on various occasions. Every letter in the Quran is the word of God. It was revealed in Arabic and will remain in its original and complete Arabic because God has made it his concern to preserve the Quran. The Quran is the only scripture in human history that has been preserved in its complete and original version without the slightest change in style or even punctuation. 16. The true Muslim believes in a clear distinction between the Quran and the sayings of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Quran is the word of God, whereas the sayings of the Prophet are the practical interpretations of the Quran. The role of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was to convey the Quran, to interpret it, and to practice it fully. Traditions of the Prophet are considered the second source of Islam and must be in complete harmony with the first source, namely the Quran. No genuine saying of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, can ever disagree with the Quran or be opposed to it. Chapter 2. The Basic Concepts of Islam. The Concept of Faith. Faith in Islam is a state of happiness acquired by virtue of positive action and constructive conceptions, as well as dynamic and effective measures. Islam defines required measures and standards which bear a meaningful faith. True believers are 1. Those who trust God always. 2. Those who spend in the way of God. 3. Those who observe their daily prayers regularly. 4. Those who pay their taxes, alms, or zakat. 5. Those who enjoin what is right and fight against what is wrong by all lawful means. 6. Those who obey God and His Messenger, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and allied friends of one another. They enjoin the right, and they forbid the wrong, and they establish worship, and they pay the poor due, and they obey God and His Messenger. As for these, God will have mercy on them. Truly, God is mighty and wise. God promises the believers, men and women, gardens underneath which rivers flow, to dwell therein, and beautiful mansions in gardens of everlasting bliss. But the greatest bliss is the good pleasure of God. That is the supreme felicity. And in chapter 49, verse 15, the true believers are those only who believe in God and His Messenger, Muhammad, and afterward do not doubt, but strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of God. These are the sincere. There are many relevant sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. For example, the Prophet has said, "None of you can be a true believer until he loves for his fellow believer what he loves for himself." And also, three qualities are the sign of good faith, and he who acquires them can really feel the sweet taste of the faith. They are to love God and His Messenger most of all, and to love his fellow man for the sake of God alone, and to resent and resist returning to disbelief as much as he does not like being cast into a fire. The concept of righteousness. God explains the full meaning of righteousness as follows. It is not righteousness that you turn your faces in prayer towards east or west, but it is righteousness to believe in God and the last day, and the angels, and the book, and the messengers, to spend of your wealth, in spite of your love for it, for your kin, for orphans, for the needy, for the welfare, for those who ask, and for the ransom of slaves, to be steadfast in prayer, and to practice regular charity, to fulfill the contracts which you have made, and to be firm and patient in pain and adversity, and throughout all periods of panic. Such are the people of truth, the God-minded. Quran chapter 2, verse 177. The righteous man should obey all the salutary regulations and should make his sincere motive the love of God and the love of his fellow man for the sake of God. Righteousness must be founded on strong faith and constant practice. And what is more spiritually joyful than doing good regularly, as a matter of course, and for the love of God. The concept of piety. In the Quran, chapters 3, verses 134 through 136, and chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, we find that piety requires a proper use of the mind by grasping the truth of God and life, a proper use of wealth by spending it in the way of God under all circumstances, and a proper use of the spiritual as well as the physical abilities of man by observing the prayer. Piety, righteousness, and meaningful faith lead to Islam and build up the true Muslim. The concept of prophethood. All the prophets were men of good character and high honor. They were prepared and chosen by God. They did not violate the law of God, but they may have made unintentional mistakes in some human affairs. The purpose of prophethood is to confirm what man already knows or can know, and to teach him what he does not or cannot know by his own means. It is also to help man to do the right and shun the wrong. Prophethood is God's justice to man because he shows him true guidance, then holds him responsible for his deeds. The source of prophethood and the sponsor of all the prophets are one and the same. It is God. The Muslims make no discrimination among the prophets. The concept of life. When God gives life to man, it is not in vain that he endows him with unique qualities and great capabilities, nor is it in vain that he charges him with certain obligations. Life is a trust from God, and man should handle his trust with mindfulness of God and with consciousness of responsibility to him. The best use of life is to live it according to the teachings of God and to make it a safe passage to the future life of eternity. Because life is so important, Islam has a complete system of regulation and principles to show man how to live. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, wisely advised man to consider himself a stranger in this life, or a traveler passing by the world. The concept of religion. It is true that genuine religion must come from God, and that human nature and major human needs are basically the same at all times. There is only one true religion coming from the one and the same God of all times. This religion is Islam. Islam has been taught by all of the prophets. Religion is not only a spiritual and intellectual necessity, but also a social and universal need. Religion satisfies the spiritual and material needs of man. On the other hand, true religion educates man and trains him, ensures man against fears and spiritual loss, assures him of God's aid and unbreakable alliance. God is absolutely true when he says in the Holy Quran, "Truly, the religion with God is Islam. Nor did the people of the book dissent from this, except through envy of each other, after knowledge had come to them. But if anyone denies the signs of God, God is swift in calling to account." Quran chapter 3, verse 19. And also, "And if anyone desires a religion other than Islam, the submission to God's will, never will it be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be in the ranks of those who have lost all spiritual good." Quran chapter 3, verse 85. The concept of sin. It is commonly believed that sin started with Adam and Eve. Islam has taken a unique position on the whole issue of Adam and Eve. If you note in the Quran, chapter 2, verses 35 through 38, chapter 7, verses 19 through 25, or chapter 20, verse 117 through 123. The human being is imperfect, but committing a sin or making a mistake does not necessarily deaden the human heart. The human being has enough sensibility to recognize his sins and to know where to turn. More importantly, God is ever prepared to respond to the sincere call of those who seek his aid. The idea of original sin has no room in the teachings of Islam. Man is born in a natural state of purity called fitra. Whatever becomes of man after birth is the result of external influence. Since man received the Spirit of God, man retains some portion of this good spirit. But God created man to worship him. No matter how much good and perfect man may be, he is still far short of the goodness and perfection of the Creator. Man is empowered by revelation, supported by reason, fortified by the freedom of choice, and guided by various social and psychological dispositions to seek and achieve a relative perfection. A sin is any act which is deliberate, defies the unequivocal law of God, violates the right of God or the right of man, is harmful to the soul or body, or is committed repeatedly and is normally avoidable. All sins against God, except one, are forgivable if the sinner sincerely seeks forgiveness. This one sin is shirk, or polytheism. Sins against men are forgivable only if the offended pardons the offender, or if the proper compensations and or punishments are applied. The concept of freedom. The Islamic concept of freedom applies to all voluntary activities of man in walks of life. His right of freedom is sacred as long as he does not deliberately violate the law of God or desecrate the rights of others. In Islam, every man is entitled to exercise his freedom of belief, conscience, and worship, according to the Quran in chapter 2, verse 256. The foundation of the Islamic concept of freedom is, first, man's conscience is subject to God only. Secondly, every human being is personally responsible for his deeds. Thirdly, God has delegated to man the responsibility to decide for himself. And fourthly, man is provided with qualities that enable him to make responsible and sound choices.
Requirement of equality. When a part of God, all men are equal, but they are not necessarily identical. There are differences of learning, potential, ambitions, love, and so on. None of these differences establish superiority of one lineage or race to another. The only distinction which God recognizes is the distinction in the piety. In the Quran, God has said, O Mary Sons, Solomon has created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and has ended with the nations and tribes so that he may know the children. He is the most honored of them in the sight of God, but the most righteous. Chapter 49, verse 15. The concept of brotherhood. Not only brotherhood in Islam, but both are the unshakable belief in the oneness and the universality of God, the worship, the unity of mankind, the worshiper, and the unity of religion. The Muslims believe that the biblical grandfather with regard to the source of creation, the original parenthood, and the final destiny. The concept of peace. Peace but it is one more derived from the same root word. The individuals who are conscious of through this man cannot fail to be at peace with God, with himself, and with his fellow men. The concept of community. The community in this man is not founded on race, nationality, locality, occupation, kinship, or special interest. The foundation of community in this man is the principle of management and working from among us now, the goodness of his law, and commitment to his cause. See Quran, chapter 3, verse 14. The true Islamic community is the alert guardian of virtue for the bitter enemies of life. The community of Islam must be exemplary. It must set the highest standard. It is the very criterion that qualifies the Muslim as the best human community ever evolved. If Muslims turned away from the right path, they would be the losers. God would replace them by other people unlike the failing Muslims. And this according to the Quran, chapter 47, verse 28. The concept of morality. The Islamic moral deals with the relationship between man and God, man and his fellow men, man and the other elements and creatures of the universe, man and his universe itself. The Muslim's relationship with God is one of love and obedience. This high-level morality will nourish and reinforce morality at the human level. The Muslim must show kindness to the king and concern for the neighbor, respect for the elderly and compassion for the young, care for the sick and support for the neighbor. His mind must be occupied with constructive ideas and serious pursuits. Nature and the world are for the Muslim. He must avoid waste and excess. He must always be mindful of others who share the world with him and who will succeed him in the future. The moral principles of Islam are designed to build in the human being a sound mind, a peaceful soul, a strong personality, and a healthy body. To satisfy these requirements, Islam has laid down the following regulations. Number one, to bear witness to the oneness of God and the messengership of the covenant, peace and blessings be upon you, in a wonderful and committed way. Number two, to pray five times a day. Number three, to pay the zakah, or furujun. Number four, to keep the fast during the month of Ramadan. And number five, to make the pilgrimage to the city of Mecca once in a lifetime, if possible. To protect man, Islam has prohibited certain things pertaining to food, drinking, recreation, and sex. Among these are the following. Number one, all kinds of intoxicants. Number two, the consumption of pork. Number three, all forms of gambling and gaming sports. Number four, all sexual relations outside of wedlock, and all matters of indecency. This prohibition is introduced by God for the spiritual and mental well-being of man, as well as for the moral and material benefit of humanity. See Quran, chapter 7, verses 31 through 33. The following passage is a representative selection from the Quran. Say, O Muhammad, come, I will rehearse what God has really prohibited you from. Join not anything that equal with him. Be good to your parents. Do not kill your children on a plea of want, for we provide sustenance for you and for them. Do not approach the orphan's property except to improve it, until he attains the age of full strength. Give measure and weight with full justice. No burden may be placed on any soul but that which it may bear. and the leper has sin, misjudgment, never is a near relative is concerned. Those must now become known to God. Thus nothing commands you, from a more over the river. Surely, nothing my way, no way of smoke. Follow it. Not follow other paths, they will scatter you from his right path. Thus does he command you, so that he may be righteous. Quran chapter 6, verses 163 to 163. And other selections and references to the subject are Quran chapter 4, verses 36 to 38, chapter 16, verses 90 to 91, chapter 16, verse 125, chapter 41, verses 33 and 34, and chapter 42, verses 36 to 43. Never will the Islamic world resign to intimidate the individual and make him passive or indifferent. If a Muslim is wronged or oppressed, he has the free choice either to resist and retaliate in an equal measure, or to forgive and entrust God with the result of his deeds. When he forgives, he pleases God. He retains the upper hand and contributes to the reformation of the delinquent. And when he retaliates, he defends the right, establishes order and justice, and helps to arrest evil. The concept of the universe. The contemporary world is sadly baffled by numerous problems. What man needs most of all is to understand himself and his nature, his potential and limitations, his place in the universe, and his relationship with its elements. The principle of moderation is most characteristic of Islam. Islam does not subscribe to the one-sided humanistic philosophy which almost defies them and recognizes nothing beyond. Neither does Islam endorse the equally one-sided verdict that human nature is inherently vicious or sinful. Islam addresses itself to both the human condition here on earth and the human destiny in the hereafter. In the Quran, passage from chapter 2, verses 27 to 39, contains some of the fundamental principles of Islam. Our Islam and Ramadan principles are the following. 1. The world is created and sustained for meaningful purposes, not by blind chance. 2. Man is God's lifeline on earth. Everything in the earth and the heavens is made subservient to him. 3. Knowledge qualifies man to be the viceroy of his creation. 4. The fall from the Garden of Eden and what followed afterwards was designed to discipline the first man, to give him actual experience of straying from and reconciliation with the Creator. 5. Both Adam and Eve were equally sinful and equally responsible. Both were remorseful, repentant, and were blessed with the forgiveness and the compassion of God. Here and elsewhere, the Quran makes it clear that both man and woman are equally capable of virtue and of weakness. 6. Man is a free agent endowed with a free will. This is the basis of his responsibility to his Creator. 7. Life emanates from God. It is a transitional state. 8. Responsibility for sin is borne by the actual offender of another. 9. Man's dignity derives from the fact that he is infused with the spirit of his Creator. It is the natural right of him. 10. Man's highest virtues are piety and knowledge. Chapter 3. The application of faith. Islam does not recognize any kind of separation between soul and body, religion and life. Being of such a complementary nature, man has parallel the man and parallel him, spiritual and material, moral and physical. The religion which oppresses either side of man's human nature would be a contradiction to this human nature. The interaction between true religion and meaningful life is vital. Islam penetrates into all walks of life to connect all human activities in a sound and wholesome manner, acceptable to God and benevolent to man. The purpose of prayer. Prayer is considered the foundation of religion. Any Muslim who fails to observe his prayer and has no reasonable excuse is committing a grave offense and a heinous sin. God does not need man's prayer. Whatever good we do is for our own benefit. The Islamic prayer does the following. Number one, it strengthens the belief in God. Number two, it enlivens this belief. Number three, it helps man to realize his natural and instinctive aspiration to greatness and high morality, to excellence and virtuous growth. Number four, it purifies the heart.
Virtuous growth. Number four, it purifies the heart and develops the mind. Number five, it fosters the good and suppresses indecent inclinations. The Islamic prayer is an experience where the body joins the soul and the mind in the worship and the glory of God. The Islamic prayer is a lesson in discipline and a practice in devotion to God, a guide to the most upright way of life, a safeguard against deviation, and an expression of thankfulness to God, an abundant source of patience. The conditions of prayer. Prayer is obligatory upon every Muslim male and female who is sane, mature, at least those are urged to pray by the age of 10, and, for women, free from menstruation and bleeding due to childbirth. Prayer is valid after performing the ablution, called wudu. With the purity of the clothes and the ground that is used for the prayer, and the covering for the male, at least from the navel to the knees, and for the female, the whole body should be covered except the face, the hands, and the feet. Declaring the intention of prayer, which is called niyya, and facing the right direction of Qibla, the direction of the Kaaba at Mecca. The kinds of prayer. The following are the various kinds of prayer. 1. Obligatory, called Fard, which includes the 5 daily prayers, the Friday's noon congregation, and the funeral prayer. 2. Additional, extra prayers, called Sunnah. And 3. Optional prayer, which includes all voluntary prayers at any time of the night or day. The times of prayer. The first prayer is performed in the early morning and is called the early morning prayer, or Salatul Fajr, and it may be offered any time after the dawn and before sunrise. The second prayer is called the noon prayer, Salatul Zuhr, and it begins after the sun declines from its zenith and continues until it is midway on its course to setting. The third prayer, the mid-afternoon prayer, Salatul Asr, is prayed after the noon prayer time and extends until the time of sunset. The fourth prayer, sunset prayer, Salatul Maghrib, begins immediately after sunset and continues until the red glow in the horizon disappears. The fifth prayer, finally, the evening prayer, Salatul Isha, begins after the glow in the western horizon disappears until a little before the dawn. The Muslim, by observing these prayers, feels the presence of God throughout the day. It is preferable to pray as soon as the time sets in. The partial ablution, called wudu. Ablution is carried out as follows. After declaring your intention to make wudu, wash the hands up to the wrists 3 times. Rinse out the mouth with water 3 times. Cleanse the nostrils by sniffing water in and blowing out 3 times. Wash the whole face 3 times. Wash the right arm 3 times up to the elbow, and then the same for the left arm. Wipe the head with water once. Wipe the inner sides of the ears with the forefingers and the outer side with the thumbs. Wash the feet 3 times, beginning with the right foot. The person is ready now to begin his prayer. Cancellation of ablution. Ablution becomes cancelled by any of the following: natural discharges, i.e. urine, stools, gas, etc., the flow of blood or pus and the like from any part of the body, vomiting, or falling asleep. After the occurrence of any one of these, the ablution must be renewed in order to pray. Substitution for the ablution, called tayammum. This is allowed when a person is sick and cannot use water, or when he has no access to water, or when the use of water is likely to do him harm. Tayammum, or dry ablution, must be followed as follows. 1. Strike both hands lightly on pure earth or sand or snow. 2. Wipe the face once. 3. Strike the hand again and then wipe the right arm to the elbow and then the left arm in the same manner. This tayammum is a symbolic demonstration of the importance of ablution. The complete ablution, or bathing, which is called ghusl. In this complete ablution, the whole body
of the nostrils, mouth, and head must be washed, and this in the following cases. Number one, after intercourse. Number two, after any genital discharge. Number three, upon the expiration of the menstruation period for women, and at the end of the blood flow after childbirth. Congregational prayers.
The congregation is led by Imam. He must be chosen on his merits of religious knowledge and piety. The Imam stands in front of the followers who stand behind him. The followers do not recite after the Imam. If a person comes after the beginning of prayer and joins the congregation, he must follow the Imam. And when the Imam completes the service, this latecomer takes a standing position to make up for the early units which he has missed. Praying in the congregation is preferable. The Friday prayer, called Salatul Jummah. The weekly Friday congregational service is compulsory upon every Muslim male. It is a convention for the Muslims to reassure themselves and confirm their religious bonds and social solidarity on moral and spiritual foundations. The highlights of prayer. This prayer of Friday is marked by these features. It replaces Zuhr, the noon prayer. It must be said in a congregation led by an imam. If missed, it cannot be made up for. And all kinds of normal work are allowed on Friday. The imam stands up facing the audience and delivers a sermon called a khutbah. Everyone should take a sitting position and listen to the sermon quietly until the end. After that, the iqamah is made, and the two obligatory units are offered under the leadership of the imam.
The significance of Eid prayers. Eid means recurring happiness or festivity. There are two such Eids. The first one is called Eid al-Fitr, which is the festival of the breaking of the fast.
It falls on the first day of the month of Shawwal, following the month of Ramadan. The second is called Eid al-Adha, the festival of the sacrifice. It falls on the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Each Eid is a wholesome celebration of a remarkable achievement of the individual Muslim in the service of God. The first Eid comes after an entire month of fasting during the days of the month. The second Eid marks the completion of the Hajj to Mecca. The performance of Eid prayers, called Salat al-Eid. Every worshipper should go to the Eid congregation in his best dress, neat, tidy, and high-spirited. A certain verbal prayer is said, known as takbir. The Eid prayer may be offered any time after sunrise and before noon. No adhan or iqamah is required. The prayer consists of two units with the imam. After the prayer is completed in two units, the imam delivers a sermon of two parts with a short recess in between. The takbir, which is said before the prayers of both Eids and after the ordinary congregations offered during the 3 days following the second Eid, is called takbir al-tashriq. It goes as follows. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. Shortening of the prayers. When a person is traveling with the intention of proceeding 48 miles or more from his home, he should shorten the obligatory prayers of four units to two each. The early morning, Fajr, and the sunset, Maghrib prayers remain unchanged. Times when prayer is forbidden. The times when prayer is forbidden to be offered are the time when the sun is rising, the time when the sun is at its zenith, the time when the sun is setting, and the period of menstruation or confinement due to childbirth for the woman. Making up for delayed prayers, every Muslim should offer the prayer in its due time. Failing to do so is a punishable sin. Every Muslim must make up for delayed obligatory prayers. One must offer them in their original form. Order should be maintained unless time available is not sufficient for both. In this case, the present prayer comes first. The Tarawih prayers. A special characteristic of the month of Ramadan is that one follows the evening Isha prayers with prayers called Tarawih. They consist of 8 rakahs offered 2 at a time. The invalidation of prayers. Prayers become invalid by the following: to eat or drink during the prayer, to speak out of the prescribed course of prayers, to shift the position from the direction of Mecca, to move outside the acts and movements of prayer, to do anything that nullifies the ablution, to fail in observing any of the essential acts of prayer, to uncover the body during the prayer. Funeral prayers, called Salatul Janaza. The prayer to God for the deceased Muslim is Fard Kifaya. This means that some Muslims should offer this prayer, and the other Muslims become exempt from this responsibility. When the body is thoroughly clean, it is wrapped, covering all parts of the body. The dead body is carried to any clean premises. The body is put in a position with the face towards the direction of Mecca. The Imam raises his hands and, saying Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest, the worshippers follow, and after him they place their right hands over their left, as in other prayers. The Imam recites the Fatiha only. Then he says Allahu Akbar without raising his hands and recites the second part of At-Tashahhud. Then he makes the third takbir without raising the hands and offers his supplication, called dua. Then the fourth takbir, without raising the hands, is made, followed by the concluding peace greetings, right and left, as in other prayers. The body is then lowered for burial with the face resting in the direction of Mecca. The whole funeral prayer is offered in a standing position. The grave should be built and marked in a simple way. The dead body should be covered with white cotton sheets of standard material. General remarks on the prayers. The Muslim's mind should always be occupied with the remembrance of God, and his tongue be busied in prayer. Prayer is strongly recommended by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Muslim is advised to remember God with proper and fitting utterances during many occasions, some of which are, for example, before meals and drinks, when finishing meals, when visiting the sick, and others. For more detailed information on prayers and the various aspects of prayer, one should refer to the complete text of Islam in Focus or another reliable source book on Islam. Fasting or sawm. Literally defined, fasting means to abstain completely from food, drink, intimate intercourse, and smoking before the break of dawn until sunset during the entire month of Ramadan. When a Muslim observes the fasting, he does it out of deep love for God. He fasts for God and for his sake alone. When he fasts in the proper manner, he is in control of himself. He exercises full command over his passion, disciplines his desires, and resists all evil temptations. We know that the institution of fasting is as old as man himself, and that it was prescribed by God for the people before the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as it has been prescribed for his followers. Non-Islamic means of fasting do not demand more than a partial abstinence from certain material things. The Islamic type is accompanied by extra devotion and worship, extra charity and study of the Quran, extra sociability and liveliness, extra self-discipline and conscience awakening. The fasting of Ramadan is obligatory upon every mature and fit Muslim, but there are other times when it is strongly recommended, according to the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Mondays and Thursdays of every week, days of each month in the 2 months heralding the coming of Ramadan, 6 days after Ramadan following the Eid al-Fitr day, and any day of any month of the year, except the 8 days and Fridays. Fasting Ramadan is a pillar of Islam, and any failure to observe it without reasonable excuse is a punishable sin. Exemption from fasting. Some exemptions from fasting are for children under the age of puberty, people who are mentally insane, unaccountable for their deeds, men and women who are too old and feeble, but they must offer one needy Muslim a meal or its equivalent per day. Sick people severely affected by the observance of fast may postpone the fast and make up for it a day for a day. People in the course of traveling are also exempted, but it is better for them, the Quran says, to keep the fast if they can without causing extraordinary hardship. Expectant women and women nursing their children, but they must make up for the fast at a delayed time, a day for a day. Women in the period of menstruation are also exempted. They must make up also for their days, one day for a day. The fast of any day of Ramadan becomes void by intentional eating or drinking or smoking, or indulgence in any intimate intercourse, and by allowing anything to enter through the mouth into the interior parts of the body. And if this is done deliberately, without any lawful reason, the penalty is to observe the fast of 60 consecutive days, or, as a second alternative, feed 64 people sufficiently, besides observing the fast of one day against the day whose fast was made void. If anyone, by mistake, does something that would ordinarily break the fast, his fast stands as valid. On the completion of the fast of Ramadan, the special charity known as Zakat al-Fitr, or the charity of breaking of the fast, must be distributed. General recommendations. It is strongly recommended by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, to have a light meal before the break of dawn, known as Sufur. To eat immediately following the sunset, not to delay. To make your meals as light as possible. To increase in the study and recitation of the Quran. To exert the utmost in patience. And to abstain from careless and gossipy chat. Again, for more information on fasting, one should refer to the complete text of Islam in Focus.
The giving of alms, called zakah. Zakah is a duty enjoined by God and undertaken by Muslims in the interest of society as a whole. Zakah not only includes charity, alms, kindness, official tax, voluntary contributions, etc., but it also combines with all of these God-mindedness and spiritual as well as moral motives. The literal and simple meaning of zakah is purity. The technical meaning of the word designates the annual amount which a Muslim must distribute among the rightful beneficiaries. Zakah purifies the property of the people with means, and clears it from the shares which do not belong to it anymore. The owner no longer has moral or legal possession of that percentage. if the poor's dividends are assorted and distributed among due beneficiaries, the remaining portions of the lot will be pure and decent. Zakat also purifies the heart from selfishness and greed for wealth. In return, it purifies the heart of the recipient from envy and jealousy, from hatred and uneasiness. Zakat mitigates to a minimum the sufferings of the needy and poor members of a society. The needy should not depend on it completely, but must do something for themselves as well as for others. Zakat is a vivid manifestation of the spiritual and humanitarian spirit of responsive interactions between individual and society. The rate of Zakat. Every Muslim, male or female, who at the end of the year is in possession of approximately $15 or more in cash or articles of trade, must give Zakat at the minimum rate of 2.5%. One pays only for his net balance. His personal expenses, his family allowances, his necessary expenditures, his due credits, all are paid first, and Zakat is for the net balance. The due recipients of Zakat are, number one, the poor Muslim, two, the needy Muslims to supply means to earn their livelihood, three, the new Muslim converts to enable them to settle down and meet their unusual needs, four, the Muslim prisoners of war, to liberate them by payment of ransom money. Five, the Muslims in debt, liabilities incurred under pressing necessities. Six, the Muslims in the service of the cause of God, by research, study, or propagation of Islam. The due recipient of Zakat is one who has nothing to meet his necessities. A disabled or invalid poor Muslim is preferable to one who is able and capable of making some earnings. The taxes we pay to governments nowadays do not substitute for this religious duty. The contributor should not seek pride or fame by carrying out this duty. The pilgrimage, called Hajj. The final pillar of Islam, the Hajj, is obligatory at least once in a lifetime upon every Muslim, male or female, who is mentally, financially, and physically capable. Financial security here means that he should have enough to cover his own expenses and those of his dependents, and to pay his debts, if he has any debts, until he completes the course of the Hajj. The Hajj is the largest annual convention of faith. It is the greatest regular conference of peace. In the course of the Hajj, to disturb the peace of anyone or any creature in any shape or form is strictly prohibited. It is a wholesome demonstration of the universality of Islam and the brotherhood and equality of all Muslims. Muslims assemble at Mecca in response to the call of God. They dress in the same simple way, observe the same regulations, utter the same supplications at the same time, in the same way, for the same end. It is to confirm the commitment of the Muslim to God. It is to commemorate the divine rituals observed by Abraham and Ishmael, Ibrahim and Ismail, who are known to have been the first pilgrims to the first house of God, the Kaaba, at Mecca. In the performance of Hajj, the entire course of devotion is to God alone. The Kaaba at Mecca is the spiritual center of Islam and the spiritual homeland of every Muslim. Concluding remarks. The visit to the tomb of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, at Medina is not an essential obligation in making the Hajj valid and complete, but it is always advisable and strongly recommended. The climax of Hajj is marked by offering a sacrifice to celebrate the completion of this devotional course, to feed the poor so that they may feel the universal joy of Eid Day. This duty is not undertaken by pilgrims only, but by all Muslims with means in every corner of the globe. It is not the meat for the blood that pleases God. It is the expression of thankfulness to Him. As with other portions, any information which is required on zakat or hajj should be referred to the complete version of Islam in Focus. Chapter 4, The Application of Islam to Daily Life. Islam is a code of life, a living force manifest in every aspect of human life. Islam always begins with the individual and invariably prefers quality to quantity. Man has two complementary natures, the inner nature and the outer nature. The inner nature of man refers to the ruh, soul, self, or heart, and the aql, mind, or power of reasoning and intelligence. The inner nature. Islam organizes the spiritual or moral life of man in such a way as to provide him with all the spiritual nourishment needed for piety and righteousness. The main items in this Islamic prescription are the prayers, the zakah, the fasting, the pilgrimage, the love for God and His Messenger, the hope and trust in God at all times, sacrificing for the sake of God by virtue of actual unselfishness. Without these fundamental elements, there can be no true faith as far as Islam is concerned. The intellectual life. The intellectual nature of man is made up of mind or intelligence or reasoning power. It is a divine injunction incumbent upon every Muslim, male and female, to seek knowledge in the broadest sense of the word and search for truth. The Quran was the first scripture to say intelligently, why, and to demand proof in support of any conviction or contention. Refer to the Quran, chapter 2, verse 111, and chapter 21, verse 24. In Islam, faith in God is the cornerstone of the whole religious structure. In order to make faith in God valid, Islam requires that it should be founded on unshakable certainty and convictions. These cannot be acquired without the proper investment of the intellect. Islam does not recognize faith when it is attained through blind imitation. Islam demands faith in God on the basis of knowledge and research. That is how faith in God nourishes the intellect and makes the intellectual life prosperous and productive. When man is internally secure and sound, his external life will be of the same nature. The external nature. The internal and external natures of man act and interact responsively. Islam has extended its divine touch to the internal as well as the external aspects of life. Islam deals with the very personal life of man in such a way as to ensure its purity and cleanliness. Before offering the prayer, the Muslim must perform an ablution. If we remember that a Muslim has to offer at least 5 obligatory prayers every day, in pure heart and mind, in clean body and clothes, then we realize the vital effect and beneficial results of this single act for man. Diet. The general principle of Islam concerning the diet is that all things which are pure in themselves and good for man are lawful. Beyond this general principle, there are foods and drinks specified by God as forbidden. Among these are the flesh of swine, see chapter 2, verse 173, and chapter 5, verse 4, and all intoxicants, see chapter 5, verses 93 and 94. The reasons behind this divine intervention are intellectual and spiritual. The sole purpose is to show man how to develop himself according to an upright course of life in order to be a healthy unit in the structure of the family, then of society, and eventually of humanity at large. Clothing and adornment. In man's clothing and adornment, Islam takes into serious consideration the principles of decency, modesty, chastity, and manliness. the clothing material and the dressing manners, which may stimulate arrogance or false pride and vanity, are strictly prohibited. So are the adornments which may weaken the morality of man. Islam warns man not to use certain clothing materials. The handsomeness of man is in high morality, sweet nature, and sound conduct. Islam pays special attention to the manner in which women dress. The vision of Islam in this respect is focused on the general welfare of women. Islam has served advice to both men and women. The advice is imparted in the Quranic verses from chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. It is said that men and women should both lower their gaze and guard their modesty. And for women, they should not display their beauty except what must ordinarily appear, and that they should draw their veils over their bosoms. Sports and amusements. Anything that provokes sound thinking or refreshes the mind and revitalizes the body to keep man in healthy shape is encouraged and invited to by Islam, so long as it does not anticipate or involve any sin, or cause any harm or delay and hamper the fulfillment of other obligations. Life is worth living and is granted to us for a definite purpose. No one is supposed to abuse it by letting it go loose or becoming dependent entirely upon luck and chance. Life is man's most valuable asset and is designed for this noble purpose. It is a deviation from the normal course of life if one entrusts his lot to the mad wheel of games and invests his abilities in the most unpredictable moves on a gambling table. Islam has forbidden gambling of all forms and kinds. Similarly, the menaces and tragedies of intoxication are too obvious. Many lives are being lost every day on this account. Many families break up because of this menace. Besides the destruction of health, the depression of mind, the dullness of soul, the absorption of wealth, the disintegration of families, the abuse of human dignity, the sabotage of morality, and the humiliating retreat from reality, every one of the so-called social drinkers is a highly potential alcoholic. Islam does not associate gambling and drinking with good sports and refreshing amusements. 1 in every 10 to 12 people who take their first drink is destined to become alcoholic. All of these are real losses. They speak louder than any argument. The family life. The family is a human social group whose members are bound together by the bond of blood ties and or marital relationships. The family bond entails mutual expectations of rights and obligations. The foundations of the family have to be so firm and natural as to nurture sincere reciprocity and moral gratification. Islam recognized the religious virtue, the social necessity, and the moral advantages of marriage. The normal course of behavior for the Muslim individual is to be family-oriented and to seek a family of his own. Marriage is a religious duty, a moral safeguard, and a social commitment. The meaning of marriage. Islam views marriage as a commitment to life itself, to society, and to the dignified, meaningful survival of the human race. It is mutual fulfillment of self-realization, of love and peace, of compassion and serenity. Islamic provisions of marriage apply to men and women equally. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, is reported to have said that a woman is ordinarily sought as a wife for her wealth, her beauty, for the nobility of her stock, or for her religious qualities. But the blessed and fortunate is the one who chooses his mate out of piety in preference to anything else. The permanence of marriage. When the parties enter into a marital contract, The intention must be clear to make the bond permanent, free from the casual and temporary designations. All marriages that appear experimental, casual, or temporary are forbidden in Islam. To insist on the permanent character of marriage does not mean, however, that the marital contract is absolutely indissoluble. The marriage contract should be taken as a serious permanent bond. If it does not work well, however, for any valid reason, it may be terminated in kindness and honor, with equity and peace. The husband-wife relationship. The Quran and the Sunnah, that is, the practice of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, prescribe kindness and equity, compassion and love, sympathy and consideration, patience and goodwill. The role of the husband evolves around the moral principle that it is his solemn duty to God to treat his wife with kindness, honor, and patience, to keep her honorably, or to free her from the marital bond honorably, and to cause her no harm or grief. We refer to the Quran, chapter 2, verses 229 through 232, and chapter 4, verse 19. The role of the wife is summarized in the verse, saying, "Women have rights even as they have duties, according to what is fair, but men have a degree over them," according to chapter 2, verse 228. This degree is usually interpreted by Muslim scholars in conjunction with another passage which states, among other things, that men are trustees, guardians, and protectors of women because God has made some of them to excel others and because men expend from their means, from the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34. This degree may be likened to external authority in the household due to the division of labor and role differentiation. It does not, however, mean any categorical discrimination or superiority of one sex to the other. The wife's rights, the husband's obligations. It is the husband's duty to consort with his wife in an equitable and kind manner. He has responsibility for the full maintenance of his wife, a duty which he must discharge cheerfully and without reproach. Components of maintenance. The wife's incontestable right to lodging, clothing, nourishment, and general care and well-being. The wife has the right to be clothed, fed, and cared for by the husband in accordance with his means and her style of life. Non-material rights. She has other rights of a moral nature. A husband is commanded by the law of God to treat his wife with equity, to respect her feelings, and to show her kindness and consideration. The wife's obligations, the husband's rights. The main obligation of the wife as a partner in the marital relationship is to be attentive to the comfort and well-being of her mate. She may neither offend him nor hurt his feelings. The wife must be faithful, trustworthy, and honest. She must not receive strange males in her home without his consent, nor accept their gifts without his approval, to avoid jealousy, suspicion, gossip, etc. She may not lend or dispose of any of his belongings without his permission. The parent-child relationship. No child may become the cause of harm to the parents, according to the Quran, chapter 2, verse 233. The parents should reciprocate and cause the child no harm either. The Quran points out that children are joys of life, as well as the sources of pride. They are the seeds of vanity and false security, and it hastens to stress the greater joys of the spirit and caution parents against overconfidence. Islam is strongly sensitive to the crucial dependence of the child on the parents. One of the most inalienable rights of the child in Islam is the right to life and equal life chances. The right of legitimacy holds that every child shall have a father and one father only. To take good care of children is one of the most commendable deeds in Islam. It is charity of a higher order to attain to the spiritual welfare, educational needs, and general well-being of the child. If there is no next of kin to take care of the child becomes a joint responsibility of the entire Muslim community. The child's duties, the parents' rights. Parents have the right to expect obedience from their children, if only in partial return for what the parents have done for them. But if the parents request an act of disobedience to God on the part of the child, or asks for the improper, disobedience becomes not only justifiable, but also imperative. Children are responsible for the support and maintenance of their parents in their old age, to provide for the parents in the case of need. Other aspects of the family life. Man is ordained by God to extend his utmost help and kindness to other family members and relations. The status of neighbors is very high in the viewpoint of Islam. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is reported as saying that nobody could be a true believer unless his neighbors feel secure and safe from him. Also, nobody can be a true believer if his neighbors pass the night hungry while he has his belly full. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Do you know what the rights of a neighbor are? Help him if he asks for your help. Give him relief if he asks for relief. Lend him if he needs a loan. Show him concern if he is distressed. Nurse him when he is ill. Attend his funeral if he dies. Congratulate him if he meets with any good. Sympathize with him if any calamity befalls him. Do not block his heir by raising your building high without his permission. Do not harass him. Give him a share when you buy fruits. And if you do not give him, bring your buys right to your house quietly, and let not your children take them out to excite the anger of his children." Social life. The social life of the true Muslim is designed to secure happiness with prosperity for the individual as well as the society. In the Quran and the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, there is a constant reminder of this important fact, the unity of humanity by nature and origin. This is to eliminate racial pride and claims to national or ethnic superiority and pave the way for genuine brotherhood. We refer to the Quran, chapter 4, verse 1, also chapter 7, verse 189, and chapter 49, verses 10 through 13. According to Islam, the final goal of humanity is God. The sole purpose of creation is to worship God and serve His cause, according to the Quran, chapter 51, verses 56 through 58. The role of the individual is complementary to that of society. The individual is responsible for the common welfare and prosperity of his society. The society is also responsible to God for the welfare of the individual. The individual is entitled to security and care. The social life of Islam is characterized by cooperation in goodness and piety. In an Islamic society, the individual is enjoined to play an active part in the establishment of sound social morals by way of inviting to the good and combating the evil in any form with all lawful means at his disposal. We refer to the Quran, chapter 3, verses 102 through 104. The economic life. Earning one's living through decent labor is not only a duty, but a great virtue as well. Dependence of any able, effortless person on somebody else for a livelihood is a religious sin. whatever the individual makes or earns through lawful means is his private possession, which neither the state nor anybody else can justifiably claim. In return for this right of private possession, he has only to fulfill certain obligations to the society and pay certain taxes to the state. When this is done, he has full rights to protection by the state, and his freedom of enterprise is secured and guaranteed. The person who is working for another person, or for a firm, or an institution, is ordained by God to do his work with efficiency and honesty. Once the work is done, the worker is entitled to a fair wage for his services. God has permitted trade, but forbidden usury. Any business deal that involves injustice, or cheating, or exploitation, is strictly inhibited and cancelable by the law, even after it is concluded. The main purpose of the Islamic legislations on economics and commerce is to secure the rights of the individual and maintain the solidarity of society. The actual and real owner of things is God alone, of whom any proprietor is simply an appointed agent. This is the true conception of property in Islam. The Quran considers possession of wealth a trying test.